thank you for your word tonight. We ask the Lord that you just, God, just move each one of us, Father God, as only you can through and by the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your anointing to speak the word tonight. And we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You go ahead, be seated. Open up your Bibles. Let's run over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 13 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Here's what it says. It says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to glory of God, to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, Paul, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, he starts out talking about having faith and having believing and speaking. Of course, we know that's part of what having faith is to be able to believe something and to speak it out of your mouth. Of course, we even want to take it another step and act on it. But he talks about the fact that our faith is what's going to cause us to be raised up. We're going to be raised up with the Lord Jesus Christ because we have faith in Him. And then he goes on down and he talks about, he says, you know, our outward man, it's every day it's going a little further. We're losing it. Can somebody say amen? You're getting a little older. Every day you're a day older. And the outward man is perishing, he says. But notice what he says. He says that the inward man is being renewed day by day. Well, how in the world is the inward man being renewed by day by day? Well, it's being renewed daily through the Word of God, if you're getting into the Word of God. Come on, we need to stir ourselves up and understand that the time we spend with the Lord is what keeps us refreshed, what keeps us renewed. And then he goes on and he says something that the church needs to get a hold of here. He talks about the things that are seen being temporary, but the things that are not seen, they're eternal. You see, I think that we've got ourselves to a place as a church, and I'm talking about the church as a whole, that we're more focused on what we see than what we don't see. And most of the time, what's the most important is what we don't see. You see, the things that we see now, the things that we feel like are important, they're just temporary. They're things of the earth, they're natural, and we're going to look at that just in a minute. But it's the things that we don't see. Those are the things that are eternal. And that's what Paul's trying to get across to the Corinthian church. They were a great church, they were a spiritual church, but they were also a church that was bad to just jump and do without really thinking about what they were doing. And so he's trying to help them to understand, don't put so much focus on what you're seeing. Put your focus on what's not seen, because what's not seen is what's eternal. Now, jump over here with me to 1 Corinthians. You're there in 2. Go back to 1 Corinthians, and let's look at chapter 2 there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Look what it says. It says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now here, you know, I hear it all the time. I heard it just the other night. I was in a church service and I heard somebody just go ahead and say that, you know, the fact that eyes not seen, neither is the ear heard. But you know, they didn't go on to say, but God has revealed them by His Spirit. You see, we find things out even though we don't see them. The spirit man knows. Notice here that it says the things of man knows, but the things of the Spirit, only spiritual people are going to know. So it's important for us to understand that we are spirit beings, and you can't discern spiritual things from the natural. You have to understand that you have to discern spiritual things from the Spirit. Now, natural things, we have a natural wisdom. We have a natural understanding that we can understand things. But if we want to understand spiritual things, we're going to have to do it through the spiritual realm. Now, we can know, according to the Word of God right here, we can know the plans and the purposes of God. You can know that. How are we going to know that? Well, it's because it says we have the mind of Christ. What's that mean? Well, that means we can know what He knows. We have, it says, the mind of Christ. If Christ knows, we can know. Come on, see, we got to get excited about that. Sometimes we act like we don't have a clue what's going on. Well, that's because a lot of times we are spiritually disconnected. We need to get ourselves spiritually engaged to the things of God so that we can understand when God's moving in the Spirit and when He's doing things in the Spirit. We need to understand that God is moving. We're engaged with Him through our spirit, not in the natural mind. Because, man, you look at some things with your natural mind and you're just like, I don't know how that's going to be possible. But you see, the Bible teaches us with God all things are possible. So it's not about the natural. It's not about what we can see. It's not about our talents and abilities. It's about spiritual discernment and seeing the things that God is doing in the Spirit and then moving on those things. Not what you see with your eyes, but what you know in your spirit, man. You see, that's how we know when to move. We understand in the Spirit that God is doing something. Now, the hard part for us most of the time is distinguishing between the natural and the Spirit. How in the world, Pastor, do we really distinguish? Well, one way you can distinguish natural from spiritual is look at the outcome. Look at what's going to become of it. Is it going to be anything that's of any eternal good? If it's not of eternal worth, then you can say that it's natural. Did you hear me? If it's not of any eternal value, then it's not something that we should waste much time on. See, we it's hard for us to swallow because we like all the natural things, and you know, we live in a fleshly body, and there is pleasure in sin for a season, the Bible even says. You know, but here's the thing. The natural things are going to pass away. And the only thing that's going to be left is the spiritual realm. The spiritual things, those that have eternal value, are the only things that's going to be left. So you and I need to be focusing more on the spirit realm than we do the natural realm. But it's sad to say now, and you can look around and tell, the church is more concerned about natural things than spiritual things. Most folks are worried more about what sports team's going to do this or that or whatever their kid's involved in than they are making sure they stay involved in church. Come on now. Let's just put it where it's at. They'd rather see them achieve, hit a home run in a ball game, is to see them come in here and lead a prayer in church. Why? Because there's all the accolades for that. But I'm going to tell you something. All those accolades disappear. They're gone. That, you know, again, you start looking back at all the UK ball games and all the stars and, you know, unless it's somebody that just lives, eats, and drinks sports, if you start asking them to name off the last 5 years, the superstars of UK, they probably can't even remember their names. You know why? Because it's gone now. That was a temporary thing. Come on now. You see, what matters is eternal things. I'd rather know that my kid was involved in church, involved in the things of God in the church, maybe leading the youth group or part of a youth group, than to know that they were in part of a championship ball team somewhere. Big whoop. Come on, don't get mad at me now because I'm preaching good. The things of the earth do not matter. The natural things don't matter. That's something you can see. It's those unseen things. It's those things that you've taught your kid to admonish the Lord. You've brought him up and you've taught him. And to hear them praying and talking to God about things. Now that's something that you can set up on a case as a trophy. My child is a praying child. He knows how to talk to God. She knows how to get in contact with the Spirit of God. That's what matters, not what they can do here on earth, but the spiritual part of that. And I'm afraid that we're losing focus on that to a certain degree. So we've got to start looking, does whatever I'm teaching my kids, does what I'm doing, does it have any eternal value? Now, you know, we know that God wants us to enjoy this life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to enjoy it. Live it to the full. But here's the thing. He doesn't want us to put the natural life before the spiritual life. Not the natural thing. Not natural before spirit. He wants spirit before natural. Come on now. That's what He's looking. Look here with me in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conscientiousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one to another. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Notice that. He says, you know, listen, you know, if you're risen with Christ, He says for you to set your affection on the things above. When that word affection there, it means to have your mind toward. It's almost a reference to where Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You see, so he's telling us that we need to be focused, to set our affection on the things that have spiritual significance. Now let me read to you verse 5 in the Message Bible. I like the way it says it. It says, and that means killing off everything connected with the way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. See, that sounds almost like the church, doesn't it? Just doing what they want to do, when they want to, how they want to, and think everything's going to be all right. But that's what the Bible says. That's not a God. You see, and so if we're going to do the things that are of God, then we're going to have to set our affection on God and on the things of God. Set your affections on the things of God, not on the things of the earth. Notice this, that he says, we put off the old man, and now we put on the new man. The new man does not do the same thing the old man used to do. Come on. You were a sinner, but now you are a child of God. You were in the world, but now you're in the kingdom of God. And so that means you operate different now. You talk different. You act different. You better start thinking different. How do I think different? By getting my mind renewed in the Word of God. You see, that's the things that will start changing in your life. The Word of God is what changes us. The trouble is, we most of the time stay so much in the world that we're more like the world than we are God. We act more like the world than we act godly. Why is that? Because we're not doing the God things the way we should be doing the God things. We're doing the world things, getting caught up in that, and we're looking more like, smelling more like, and acting more like the world than we are God. And God says, that's not what I want from you. He said, I want you to put off all these things and put on that new man. Act like a godly person. talk like a godly person. Let people see God in you when they see you out in the world. Look here over in Galatians chapter 2 with me. Let's just jump over there. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 20 here. Paul writing again, he says this, I am crucified with Christ. What's that mean? I've died with Christ. You see, when you got born again, that meant you died. The old person died. The old man died when you were born again. That's why you had to be born again. Because the old person dies, the new man comes to life. Okay? So he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Notice that. Paul says, you know, I had a life, but I died. And now the life I'm living now, I'm living it through Christ and faith in Christ. You see, that's where you and I are at now. We died out to the old self. Now we're living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've allowed Him to come into our life. And now we're going to live our lives by faith in the Son of God. Living my life by faith means I'm living my life by the Word of God. You can't have faith without the Word of God, right? Because faith cometh by hearing and what? Hearing by the Word of God. I know the Bible says you have a measure of faith, but you're going to build that faith through and by the Word of God. So if we want the Word of God operating in our life, then we're going to have to begin to get into it, study it, meditate it. It's more than just reading. Reading is good, but it's studying. Take the time to meditate upon it. Remember what God told Joshua? He said, you meditate upon it day and night. Think about that. Day and night. Why is that? Because He wanted it more real on the inside of Him than the natural thing. I understand that when we see stuff, it feels more real to us. But I'm going to tell you something. God is just as real as the chairs you're sitting in. Come on, I know you can see the chair, you can feel the chair, and you can't see God, but you sure can feel Him. Come on, you can feel His presence, praise God. So you see, God is just as real, but it's because we don't see, that's the thing that causes us to focus more on the things that we do see. But we have to get ourselves to that place and understand that this world here is temporary. It's not going to last. It's not one of those eternal things. But the world that we see us in the spirit realm, that world is eternal. And that's the world we're going to. If we live to be 120 years old, it's still temporary compared to what's coming, eternity. And so we need to make sure that we're focusing on eternity and not focusing on right now. You see, because it's real easy to find things that occupy ourselves right now, and we want to do this and we want to do that, like the message said, we want to do whatever we want to do. But I'm going to tell you something. The one thing you ought to want to do is go to heaven. And if you want to go to heaven, then you've got to do what the Word says. So we're going to have to do what the Word says. If we're going to live by faith, then our faith has to be in God and God's Word. So we stay in the Word. Notice here something. He says, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Word of God. Now, Romans chapter 1, if you want to jump over there with me, we'll look at something there. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 16 here. Let's read that. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Notice that Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. It's amazing how many folks are backing down and are ashamed of the Word of God. They're not letting their light shine because they don't want the scrutiny that comes sometimes with living for God. But I'm going to tell you something. People are going to talk about you no matter what. Yeah, if you do good, they'll talk about you. If you do bad, they'll talk about you. It won't make any difference, so you might as well just figure they're going to talk about you. Jesus said, you know, they've persecuted me. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Why is that? Well, because the world's the world. The devil hates you, and the devil is the world's daddy. Right? But our Heavenly Father, our daddy is God. Come on, isn't that something to get excited about? You see, the devil does what the devil does, but God does what God does. And so the children of God ought not be doing what the children of the devil are doing. We need to be focusing on the things of God, focusing ourselves on spiritual things, on the fact that God is my God. And no matter what I'm going through, He's going to be there with me. See, the devil will do that. Remember that old song, "Here's a Quarter, Call Somebody Who Cares." Yeah, that's the way the devil is. He'll take you right up there to the edge of the cliff and then give you a little push, while the Lord Jesus will reach down and grab you and pull you up. You see, there's a difference. My Heavenly Father is the one I want to serve. I've tried the devil. I don't like the devil. Matter of fact, I hate the devil. I don't like that life. I like the God life. Hallelujah. It's a blessed life. And so I'm going to live this life. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. What's that mean, the just? Those that have been justified. Those that have sins have been forgiven. Those that have made Jesus Christ their Lord. It says they're going to live by faith. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's not, because it's the power of God unto salvation, unto this godly life that we're talking about. And so when we look at that, what Paul's basically saying, I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the things of God. Everything that God says we can have, and so I'm glad of it, because I'm going to live my life by faith. And so we have to, as children of God, we've got to make up a mind. How are we going to live our life? Are we going to live like the world, or are we going to live like God wants us to live? Are we going to live our lives by faith, or are we going to live our lives just jumping from one next thing to the next? We're going to live it by faith, absolutely. Matter of fact, if you go to Galatians 3:11, here's what it says. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, for the just shall live by faith. There's two times that he said it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Notice that. He says, you've got to live by faith, but if you're going to draw back, then my soul will have no pleasure in you. But I like what Paul says next. He says, but we're not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. What's he saying? Well, here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, God says we need to live by faith, but if we back off from that, He's not going to be pleased with us. But we're not going to be part of those that back off. We're not going to be part of those that turn back. We're going to keep right on, because we are those that believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, we're going to stay with it till the end. We're not going back down. We're not going to back away from the things of God. And then when the going gets tough, then we're going to get tougher. Come on, church. Listen, Jesus never said it would be easy. He said that they're going to make accusations against you. He said you're going to be persecuted. He said they'll even bring you up and there'll be lies told on you. Well, we've seen all that, haven't we? You know, that's the way the world operates. But he said, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Everything's still going to be all right. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I don't know about you, but I ain't letting no devil in hell keep me from going to heaven. I ain't let nothing that the devil offers in the world keep me from going to heaven. How about you? So you've got to make up your mind. Listen, either this thing is real and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing to get to heaven, or it's not. If it's not, let's just all pack up. Let's go home. Go do what we want to do. But see, we know it is right. We know it is real. We know that Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you and I could be saved. We know that on the third day He was placed in the tomb and He rose from the grave. He was placed in the tomb. Third day He rose from the grave. I'll get it out in my right in a minute here. We know these things. Why? Because Jesus told us in His Word what He was going to do. He told us. He said, I'm going to be placed in the earth. He said, but on the third day, I'm going to come again. Right? He talks about Jonah as he was in the belly of the whale 3 days in the night. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. You see, He told us what He was going to do, and then He did it. And because He did it, He made a way for you and I to have eternal life. So now that He's made a way for us to have eternal life, you and I are to live that life like we really mean it. Live that life like we're glad to be able to live it. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot have your eyes on the world and be living this godly life. Come on, because the world will make it look like everything is just roses and everything is just honey and everything is so good. And the truth is, they're dying and they're on the way to hell. Think about that one for a minute. Now, we pray for them that they don't go to hell. But here's the thing. I'm not going to follow them just because they look like they're having a good time. Come on. Because I can have a good time in God and do have a good time in God. To me, it's the greatest life that you'll ever live, is to have that peace that no matter what, to have that peace that no matter what, should I leave this earth, I'm going to be in the arms of Jesus when I come to myself again and know what's going on, right? And I don't even know that we don't know continually. I can't help but believe sometimes, this is me now, but I can't help but to believe that when a believer goes to be with Jesus, they don't know the difference between there and there, and they're right there with Jesus. The only thing they don't have is all the sorrow, all the pain, and all the bad. Come on. Now they're there in the presence of God, and they wouldn't come back for no amount of money. You couldn't pay them enough to get them back. You see, that's what we're looking for, church. That's what we're going toward. That's why we live by faith. That's why it says the just shall live by faith. And so when we see this, he says, you know, we're not of them that turn back. So here's what we've got to do. We've got to learn how to have balance. We've got to learn how to live our life and have balance between the natural or just this fleshly life and the spiritual life. We've got to, see, you know, we live in this fleshly body. We've got to learn how to have the balance there. Again, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we know He wants us to have a natural life and enjoy this natural life. But see, the thing that we've got to make sure we're doing is that we maintain the balance and don't allow the natural to get in front of the spiritual. Come on now. You see, a lot of times we'll do that because the natural, sometimes we get caught up in things and we're just like, oh man, this is just so awesome. I just love this so much. This is just so great. And it may be so for a while, but you got to understand sooner or later, you better get yourself grounded back because you're going to need Jesus more than you need that thing. Come on now. When the doctor in the natural looks at you and shakes their head and says, there ain't nothing I can do. Come on now. You see, because he's a natural man. And all he knows is natural medicine. When he looks at you and says, there ain't nothing I can do, I promise you, that's the time you want one of those things that you can't see. Come on now. You see the doctor, but he's already shaking his head saying, nope, don't look at me. I can't do anything. That's when we better be looking to the things above and not on the earth. Because Jesus is the great physician. Come on. You see, and so that's why it's so important that we have a balance. And again, God wants us to enjoy this life. He doesn't want us going around acting like we're just sad old Humpty Dumpty things and just, you know, this life, I just can't wait to get out of it. I'm enjoying this life. This life is a good life because I'm living it for God. I can still enjoy things in the natural. But I've never forgotten that God's life in me is greater than the natural life I'm living here on earth. Because He's the one that when I lay my head down on the pillow at night, I know I can have peace because I know He's with me. When nobody else can't help me, nobody else can't come to my assistance, He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. See, that's the God we serve. He's living on the inside of us. And so we have to have that balance, knowing God wants me to enjoy my life here, but at the same time, God wants me to put Him first in this life. That means what? I'm going to study. I'm going to pray. I'm going to attend church. Come on now. Isn't it amazing that folks do everything they do all week long, and then when it comes time to give God 2 hours, that they still got to do what they do all week long? Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good here. But you see, that shows you how much of the world is in folks, is the fact that they feel like, you couldn't cut the grass on any other night besides a Wednesday night. Right? I mean, because it's just got to be cut on Wednesday night. I mean, that's just all there to it. Right? We've got to get the hay in. Because if we don't get the hay in, we can't feed the horses. If we ain't got the horses, we ain't got something to keep us out of church on Sunday. Come on now, I'm preaching better than you all. Amen to me. You see, I'm just saying that, see, we get out of balance on these things. And I've got to understand that God comes first, because if we didn't have God, we wouldn't have the hay field in the first place. And if we didn't have God, the hay wouldn't grow. If we didn't have God, we wouldn't have the horse. Come on. God gave us everything that we have. He's blessed us. And so we should be putting Him first and thanking Him for all that we have, and then give Him His time, give Him His due, and then enjoy the rest of it. You see, our trouble is we try to make God circle around our little world when God says, no, I am your world, and everything else can circle around me. And that's the thing that we have trouble with, is making that right balance to know putting God first and then everything else. That's why the Lord Jesus looked at him and he said, you know, don't be worried about what you're going to eat. Don't be worried about what you're going to drink. But seek you first the kingdom of God. Seek you first the kingdom of heaven. His righteousness. And then all these things will be added to you. Notice the things are added to what? Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we seek Him, then He can add. Matter of fact, what I like about God is most of the time He multiplies. Aren't you glad about that? You see, so what you and I are going to have to do, we're just going to have to make up our mind. I understand that I am a child of God, that I am a spiritual being, and my spirit life has to come first. The other's all right. God's not mad at people because they're having a good time and they're enjoying this life. But we have to understand that our spiritual life comes first, feeding on the Word of God, growing in the Word of God, and keeping that balance. And I promise you, it's a good life. We can just sit and say, thank you, Jesus, for the life you've given me. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me tonight. I'm glad that I know my Redeemer. I'm glad that I know Jesus lives. I'm glad that I know He's living on the inside of me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, Father God, Lord, that You help us to always be mindful of Your Spirit that lives in us. Lord, help us always to be mindful that we're God children. And as God children, we do godly things and we live our lives by faith. Help us now, Father God, to never forget that. And Lord, when we come to a place and it looks like we might get off and draw back some, I thank You, Father God, Lord, that the Holy Ghost will quicken us and tell us, no, that's not what You do. You keep moving forward because you gotta keep on living your life by faith. Father, I thank You for that. Father, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, anyone here tonight that needs to rededicate their life, that tonight would be the night. You speak to them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they'll make that change tonight. We give You glory for it. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name.